The Walt Disney Company was shocked. Shocked, I tell you, as they were pitching to ad buyers that they're the place to be, whether it's ABC, Disney Plus, Hulu, come on in, spend with us friends, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, all the rest. Well, Jimmy Kimmel, he never rests in his efforts to get fired. And so he took the stage and shamed the Walt Disney execs, bragged that he's cost them billions of dollars, and rubbed their face in the fact that he's not going away. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the channel that continues to untie the knots and explain what's hot, what's not in Hollyweird. Folks, we dive deep in explaining these people in a way that not even they could ever understand themselves. As we do the video today, you click the like button. That's all we need, powered by you. And off we go, Jimmy Kimmel, shaming the Disney Company. You know, the Walt Disney Company, they deserve every single bit of this. I don't know if the new leadership deserves it. Josh DeMaro, maybe the new CEO, doesn't deserve it. But the company at large, they deserve this because they continue to play with fire. And that fire is Jimmy Kimmel. He wants to be fired. We've talked about this ad nauseum here, and we're nauseous because of Jimmy Kimmel, but we've talked about this so many times. There is a vested interest for Jimmy Kimmel in his final year of his contract to find a way to become a martyr. And he's determined. And yet again, he's proven it and made Disney pay for it. This time, shaming their leadership, embarrassing them purposefully. Some might call it a hazing in front of the ad buyers, the money men and women. From Dominic Patton out of Deadline, Jimmy Kimmel takes no prisoners in Disney upfront monologue. Now, before I even tell you any more about this, some of you out there are saying, what the heck is a Disney upfront monologue? What? Okay. What this is, Disney puts on a thing with a big show, big hoorah, right? They get the Ritz out there, the glam, and they bring in all the ad buyers for a big show, and they put out all the stuff that means, hey, ad buyers, you want to be a partner with Disney. The whole idea is to make Disney look good. So when Jimmy Kimmel is said to have come up and taken no prisoners at this, that would be like showing up with brass knuckles to a five-year-old clown birthday party. Like, not the time, Jimmy. Says, quote, I've been through so much bull cuss this year, made me appreciate this bull excrement.
Isn't this what they used to call sweeps?
Kinda.
Okay, this is, yeah, it's kind of the timing of that, yeah.
We're in the sweeps right now, that's right. But just listen to this. Remember, Disney has assembled the people who want to spend money for Disney on ABC and Disney Plus. And Jimmy Kimmel's supposed to come up there and tell some funny jokes and make people happy. And he used this to rub Disney executives' faces in his flatulation, right? He took this opportunity to absolutely ridicule them in front of the money people. It says, even by Jimmy Kimmel standards, it's been quite the crazy ride for ABC's late night host since he was last on stage in New York for a Disney upfront presentation. Quote, I have to admit, I've been through so much bull cuss this year, it actually made me appreciate it. He told Disney brass, stars, and assembled ad buyers Tuesday at this year's gathering at the Javits Center, which is why the self-described bad boy of data and measurement solutions added, I cost our company a lot of money this year. Billions. All the hits keep coming. That's right. He actually bragged to the ad buyers with Josh DeMaro and Dana Walden in the front row, I cost this company billions. Some might say, well, now that's just a joke, bro. No. If the FCC takes the licenses from these ABC stations, he cost them billions. Introduced by Ryan Seacrest, Kimmel hit the stage today to big applause and unsheathed his satire swords fast, furious, and funny. Quote, it is very possible that no employee in the history of any company has cost their employer more. Hiring me 24 years ago, just from a purely mathematical standpoint, was the worst personnel decision that the Disney Corporation has ever made. Not even the captain of the Exxon Valdez did more damage. Pummeling kept going on. This is what he tells the ad buyers, who remember are squeamish right now about him because they're worried, like, McDonald's, does McDonald's want to come on with Jimmy Kimmel when he says this kind of stuff? So Kimmel, he leans into it. He says, yes, the president has tried to get me twice for the last 6 months. That's one way to look at it. Another way you could say, I've generated unparalleled engagement across a variety of platforms this year, largely thanks to our partners in Washington. We are up 25% among viewers. Yes, in Washington. He says, you know, usually in order for ABC to pull you off the air, you have to throw a chair at your Mormon boyfriend. It's a nod to something else going on another show on Disney. He Here are some of the quotes, though. He says, since I started ABC, I've had three CEOs, Bob, 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 and Josh. Josh's last name is pronounced tomorrow, as in all the shows you saw earlier will be canceled tomorrow. And it's moderately funny. He says, I was on The Late Show last night with Stephen Colbert. As you know, CBS is turning 11:35 into a leased time slot. Least as in least likely to offend the president with a rerun of Comics Unleashed from 2007. We'll leave that one there. He says, you know, in the past, I've come here to mock the other network shows. It was all very competitive, but now we're like a bunch of dirty, starving little chihuahuas under the table waiting for a chicken leg to drop. For the first time, I think ever, I'm rooting for CBS. They've got a lot of great returning shows, and they've got some great new shows. NCIS New York answers the question, what if LL Cool J partnered up with another white guy in a different city? Goes on and on and on and on. Even to this point, and then I'll wrap it up and hand it to the panel, he says, as for us at ABC, except for all the physical attacks, we're doing really great. Dancing with the Stars is hotter than your grandma's underpants at a Michael Bublé show. The Rookie was the most streamed show among viewers under 18. Young people love The Rookie. And do you know why? I'm actually asking, why does anyone know why this is happening? This is like finding out tweens love Triscuits. But ultimately, it was the hits on Disney itself, claiming that he's cost the company billions and bragging about it right to the ad buyers' faces. Cogman, I want to go to you first on this. Jimmy Kimmel is just an abrasive, unfunny man. I struggle as I read through these. If I had a teleprompter and I was standing there, I can't make them funny. He can't make them funny. They're not funny. The jokes aren't funny. They're just mean-spirited. And we call that comedy now. So what do you make of the idea that this man stood in front of the executives, the ad buyers, and everybody else and basically said, I dare you to fire me. Let me just unleash on you as well.
Well, he has a martyr complex. He's obsessed with being this martyr. And he knows, he even admitted to himself, that his ratings, his viewership, his engagement has gone up ever since Trump has attacked him. This is the exact reason why Kimmel started with that joke with Melania Trump and said, oh, you'll be an expected widow. You have the glow like an expected widow, because he's insinuating that he wants, or he's advocating for, you know, an unfortunate circumstance and, you know, thing to fall upon our president, which is a horrific thing to say. And it's not even funny. It's not even funny, but he does this to generate controversy. And this is why when you look at these writing rooms, the writers' rooms, and people like Jimmy Kimmel, they're not funny. They're activists. They're activists first and foremost, because that's the only way by which they can generate engagement. And through controversy, they drive engagement. And so this is actually why a lot of huge mainstream media outlets have really leaned in, especially into their obsession of being anti-Trump, because their obsession of outrage porn and I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but, you know, just constantly farming outrage. That drives engagement, which then they can sell to their, you know, advertisers and say, hey, look at all these clicks that we got. Look at how much retention we get. And so that's the cycle that they found themselves in. And they know that as Jimmy Kimmel, if he's like branded, if he brands himself as, oh, the president of the United States, literally Hitler is coming after me, then he knows that people will start watching his stuff more by sheer just by the sheer idea that he is this martyr who's fighting for freedom of speech, when in actuality, he's just funny. And so he's not funny. He hasn't been funny for a very, very long time. And he relies on controversy instead of humor to drive viewership and engagement. And so that's what he's doing right now. I think it's pathetic. And yeah, it's just not funny. It's like, if it's one thing, if it's dark humor, that's funny. But it's not funny to just say, like, hey, let's wish death upon this person.
You're exactly right. What's amazing to me is the audacity. You know, he's supposed to go up there, do the Ryan Seacrest. That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to tell very safe jokes to ad buyers and convince them that he's a safe place for them to spend their money. And instead, Tom, he doubled, tripled down and basically said, yeah, I'm the guy that if you buy commercials with me, I'm going to attack Trump. And by the way, I'm also going to dump on my own company and tell you, I've cost you billions and I'm happy about it. And that's the kind of thing that I think he's kind of daring the top new executives. Fire me. And if you're not going to fire me, he's going to shame them. He's just going to make fun of them because he knows that he holds all the power here. They're scared to say goodbye, Jimmy, Tom.
Well, I haven't actually seen the clip or heard it in actual context, because I will give him this little bit of a caveat that some of those things he's saying were clearly meant to be jokes, but they're just not that funny. That's the truth. Like, the guy has never been funny. He is... The only times he ever is funny is when he's playing this awkward idiot. And even those times were, like, you know, the Matt Damon jokes, you know, and stuff like that. I honestly... He is probably trying to get fired because then he gets to be more of a martyr again, as pointed out before, right? Because that's all he's doing. He's creating this image that Trump's coming after him and he's Trump's biggest arch enemy right now, when in actuality, a lot of the problems he has are his own doing, right? Because it's the FCC, and I brought this up before. I don't know if I brought it up on your guys' show, but the FCC actually doing its job for the first time in years is where he got this, you know, notion that he's under attack, when really it was more like the FCC was letting too much go over the last 10, 20 years, if you ask me. Because one thing I had to keep explaining to people is the big difference between something like CNN or Fox News that are on cable channels. Kimmel himself being on a network channel carries its own weight with it. Like when I went on radio, I had to get my FCC license. And with that FCC license, you have to understand that you cannot say or do certain things like I just did a half a minute ago on the radio, right? I would get fired instantly. And not only that, my station could face a huge fine.
You're now, lucky we love you, Tom. You're lucky we love you so much.
And it was a slip, and I apologize,
especially
to the families listening. But at the end of the day, what it really boils down to is Kimmel's put himself into these positions because he said things that are untrue. Regardless if you want to pretend they're a joke or not, or how he's trying to restructure the context of what he said about the Charlie Kirk incident and the other stuff he's done recently with the Melania Trump comments and some, that happened, what, 2-3 days before the attempted assassination again?
Yeah. The problem was that he doubled down after that, right? And if he had said, you know, that came out poorly based on the recent news, but he doubled down, he tripled down, you know, and made more jokes about it. It's like, okay.
It was a stupid joke to make in the first place because you already put yourself in a position of that, like, okay, 2 days after you said this joke or 3 days, that actually is attempted. Now you're like, wow, that joke aged poorly, right? Like, but not only that, this president has already had how many attempted assassinations on his life? Probably the most in history. Those are not the type of jokes you should be making when that's already happening, right? Like that's pretty dumb. I could never even see Johnny Carson coming out and saying anything remotely close to that, right? And that's kind of where I'm sure we'll get into the Jay Leno stuff is like, look, when you're on one of these platforms, especially a network, you got to kind of be neutral and or at least appear to be neutral, right? Because otherwise, you're going to get yourself in a position where over time, people are going to associate you with a certain side. And then when you say things like this, it's kind of hard to say, well, I was just kidding. Or it just came off as an off-color joke, and I apologize, right? Like, you can't do that anymore because it's pretty obvious that this guy has an issue with Trump and always has because he can't shut up about him.
Well, I think his wife, who's the producer, she can't stop. Lauren, the other thing about this is the timing, and that's the context that people need to know about, I believe, because we had heard and we had reported on this very briefly that what we believe has happened is that Disney executives essentially said, no, Jimmy, be good. Don't do this again. You got to tone it down. That was the big response to the Melania Trump thing, right? Behind the scenes. Come on, Jimmy. Come on. You don't. And he did this while they were in the front row with the ad buyers. I think this was a message to them. I'm not going to tone it down. We're going to play chicken together. But the problem is I actually want you to run me over. I want you to fire me. There's no winning here. You either jump out of my way and I win, or you run me over and I go out a martyr and I win. He's happy either way, but he's not going to back down.
I agree. He's made a strategic decision. There is not a lose condition for him, except the shtick that he's doing is the same kind of thing that you see with the class clown in high school. Somebody who's loud and makes crude jokes and tries to disrupt the class. And what you have is a teacher who is not disciplining him because he doesn't want to look like he's gotten, like the clown has gotten under his skin. In this case, the clown wins either way. But the problem is, eventually, those jokes do great if you don't have anything else in your arsenal. So it may be that what they're hoping is that he just keeps doing it until the audience gets bored and he becomes irrelevant. But I don't think that's necessarily a smart move for them. Continuing the teacher analogy, I think the smarter thing to do would be to lift him up out of his desk and hang him by his coat on the coat hooks and just let him hang there for a while and see how that goes.
The problem with this is, and there's another third possibility here, and that is that this is the approved message that they are putting across, because as we know, a lot of these businesses are just as pro woke as Disney. And that's probably the main reason why Disney leans into it so hard, because we've had all this stuff happen in the last two decades, or decade at least, where they've gone, well, that's where the money is, and that's what we've got to do to make the money. Right. So, and it could even very well be that they're telling Jimmy to say these kind of things to the advertisers so they know that he is going to keep it up with the pressure, and that he is going to keep testing Trump. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't put him up to it.
Can I throw a question out there just out of curiosity?
Go for it.
Is there a possibility that he has some kind of a non-compete clause after he leaves the company where he cannot start a new talk show unless he's fired?
I would think that could be. I would think the non-compete comes in if he decides to quit. I would be surprised if he's got a non-compete following the completion of the contract.
I would think so, because at this point, that's the other thing, is they could put him on Hulu anytime. They could have put him on any other cable stations anytime. They have FX. They've got plenty of them. Heck, I've even said ESPN. Why don't they just put the Jimmy Kimmel Show on ESPN? Almost every home in America has that. Even though it's not a network, he can say whatever the heck he wants on there, and there's nothing the FCC can do. That's the thing he don't understand, and that's the other thing that ABC is kind of toying with, is that at the end of the day, these would not really amount to much more than fines in most cases, but they keep piling things on top of each other, and he's part of the problem. And eventually, that dog is going to bite, right?
Here's my callous take on that, Tom, and anybody can weigh in on this, of course, but my callous take on this is that the way Disney approached the situation when they decided to bring him back and then re-sign him to essentially a one-year farewell extension contract deal, because that's all that is. There's never a one-year deal at this level that's not a farewell. The reason I think they did that is they said, okay, Colbert's going to leave. If he leaves at the same time, that's going to muddy up the waters. We're going to take a lot of fire for that. But Kimmel's going to go into the midterms with one less competitor. It's him versus Fallon in the midterms. What is Kimmel going to do? He's going to be political. So in the midterms, that's to our favor. And then he exits right after that. The problem for Disney is they've miscalculated, because this guy is he's a venomous viper. He's going to bite them. He bites everybody, and you can't play with this guy. He's determined to make this an error on their part. That's what I think anyway. All right, folks. That's the situation with Kimmel right now, and that's why Disney is in bed with a snake. Never a good place to put one of those things. Ask everybody out there who has an ex-spouse. They'll tell you.
The Hollyweirds don't understand how it is we do what we do, bringing you video after video every single day of the utmost highest excellence and quality. But folks, we do it because of you. We appreciate you. You are seen and heard here on the Pro Channel. Make your voices heard, folks, by doing one last thing before we say goodbye for a short time. Consider clicking the like button. Share, subscribe, and you know what? That notification bell, click it and stick it to the algorithms. Also, drop a comment down below and let us know your thoughts. And don't forget, folks, we've got even more content on the way. If you'd like to become a member, it's just the price of a soda per month, and you'll gain access to all kinds of exclusive content beyond what the public sees, including archival footage of the Pro Show that goes away after just a few days from its public release. Folks, we hope we get the honor of spending time with you again soon. And until then, keep learning, keep growing, and as always, keep having fun.